my heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone along a trail that's winding always upward. This troubled world is not my final home, but until then my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city, until the day God calls me home. The things of earth will dim and lose their value if we recall they're borrowed for a while. And things of earth that cause our hearts to tremble, remembered there, will only bring a smile. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city, until the day God calls me home.
Amen. Should that be the testimony of each one of us? Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Psalm 100. As I mentioned earlier there, I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving celebration there with family and friends. Some of you had a difficult time there, I understand. But it was a time and is a time at Thanksgiving for us to express our gratitude to one another and to God. And today I wanted to continue with that. Last Sunday, with all of the ones and people we had involved in the service of praise there. And by the way, thank you so much for so many that were involved with that, from our children right through our adults. It was a great time, but it only afforded me a few minutes there to share in a message at the end. So I wanted to be able to share a little bit more today, and I've entitled the message today, Giving Thanks Today. And not just Thanksgiving Day, but every day. What does the holiday season from Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, what does the holiday season mean to you? You know, to some people, the holidays here is just a little extra time off from work or school. To other people, it's a time in which they find some really good deals when they're out shopping. But to others, it's a time in which they reflect on the many things that they have to be thankful for and the many things that are coming to an end in this year. And it's hard to believe that 2018 is coming to a close very quickly. You know, apart from New Year's Eve, the contemplation of the year end and what it has meant probably takes place more at Thanksgiving than any other time other than New Year's Eve. And it's a time, as I said, that we think about and we contemplate all of the things that have happened this year and what we have so much to be thankful for. Now, was it a year without difficulties, problems? No. There is no such year. Okay? Every year is going to have its problems. Every year is going to have its difficulties. Some are going to be harder than others, but all of them have it. And as we mentioned last week in the message, Satan would love for us to sit around and think about all of the problems. But God says that we are to whatsoever things are pure and honest and good, and we're to think on those things. We're to concentrate our attention on the things of blessing that God has given and what's happened in our life and what we do have to be thankful for, instead of taking all of those things for granted. While Thanksgiving Day did not become a national holiday, begin to celebrate it until George Washington proclaimed it in 1789, the understanding of taking a particular day and setting it aside to give thanks is quite older than that. Matter of fact, in the Old Testament, there was a particular feast of Thanksgiving in which they would make a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord. And in the Scriptures, we find over and over that the giving of thanks, the attitude of gratitude there and expressing it, was not something that was an option, but it was always a command that God gave us, something that we were to be involved in. And the same is true with us today. We're reminded in Colossians 3, verse 17, "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Whatever you do, you're to do it giving thanks unto God the Father. Rightly so, because everything that we have, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. God the Father has given us everything that we have that is good and is a blessing, etc. there. And we ought to be thanking and naming those things and thanking Him for it one by one. We should never lack in giving God the thanks He so richly deserves. So why then could we say thanksgiving or giving of thanks is so important? There are three reasons I want to share with you this morning as we look at giving thanks today. But before we do, let's ask God's blessing. Lord, we come before You acknowledging that apart from You, we can do nothing. I cannot share this message clearly. I cannot have Your power or blessing upon it unless You give it. And we ask, Lord, for that exactly today. Help us to listen carefully and not let anything distract us from our attention to You 100%. And I pray that right now that You, through Your Word and through Your Holy Spirit, would take Your Word and implant it in our hearts. Show us, Lord, where we need to change and where we may have failed. And then, Lord, that we may make those adjustments as necessary. And thank You for what You will accomplish. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Why is giving thanks so important? Three reasons. Number one, giving thanks reflects our heart for God. You know that giving thanks is a reflection of what's going on the inside in your heart. And the lack of giving thanks is also a reflection of what's going on or not going on in your heart that should be. Jesus said in Luke 6, 45, He says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks." Have you ever wondered how some people and why some people are so spiteful in what they say and what they do? And why other people are so encouraging by what they say and do? Well, the answer is because that's what's in their heart. You find a spiteful person, you'll find a spiteful heart. You'll find an encouraging person, you'll find an encouraging heart. Jesus said, "For what's in the heart is going to come out in your words and in your actions of what is there." So what is in your heart is going to come out by what you say and what you do. Now, with our heart, we need to be thankful. We need to be grateful, and we need to praise the Lord, etc. So what does it look like to have a heart of thanks? To have a heart of thanks. Number one, here in Psalm 100, it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness." There are two words in there, joyful and in gladness, both of them out of the same root there. Both of them have to do with what's in the heart there, the way that we come before the Lord in praising Him, etc. there. It's an attitude of gratitude that we have used before and mentioned so often that we are to have before God and before others there. When we come before God with a joyful song, with a joyful noise even, it is because there is a joy within our heart. I know that some people really struggle with singing. And there are a lot of different reasons why. Some people say, Pastor, you don't want to hear me sing. Well, that's why it says you can make a joyful noise. But other people are saying, Pastor, you understand, right now my throat is so sore that I just cannot speak hardly. I certainly can't sing. Or if I start singing, I'm going to start coughing because I'm right at that verge right now. There are a lot of reasons that can be out there. But, you know, the one that is most serious is the one where is the heart problem. It says, I don't feel like singing to God. I don't want to sing to Him. That reveals something about our heart that is there. That's something that we need to personally take note of ourselves if that's the way we feel. Because that's not natural for a believer not to want to sing and to praise the Lord. That means we've got heart problems. And just like any doctor would prescribe for you or diagnose you if you have heart problems and if failing and so forth and it's not right, they would want you to make the adjustments that need to be made to make it right. And the same thing is with our spiritual life. We have to be ready and willing to make the adjustments in our life so that our heart can be and will be grateful and let it come through with our singing and praise unto the Lord there. So we need to have a heart of joy, as seen in verse 2. The first verse of verse 2 there is serve the Lord with gladness there. There needs not only be a heart of joy, there needs to be a heart of service. An attitude of gratitude is inseparable from serving the Lord, a service unto the Lord there. When we give thanks and praise unto God there, we're offering up a service unto Him. We're offering up a praise unto Him. The former Denver Broncos quarterback, Tim Tebow, was used to receiving criticism and so forth and being made fun of because of his faith, both on the field and off the field. And one time he was asked in an interview by ESPN, they asked him why that he needed to tell others about his love for Jesus. And this is what he said. He says, if you were married and you have a wife and you really love your wife, is it good enough to only say to your wife, I love you, the day that you get married? Or should you tell her every single day when you wake up and have the opportunity? And that is how I feel, he says, about God, his relationship with Jesus Christ. He said, it is the most important thing in my life. So every opportunity I have to tell Him that I love Him, he takes there. And every time he says that I'm given the opportunity to shout Him out on national TV, I'm going to take that opportunity. You know, he takes the opportunity to speak out to his Lord, about his Lord, because he loves Him. And we need to do the same. We need to have the opportunities, and in church we have the opportunity to sing out praise and even testify sometimes of His goodness. And we ought to take those opportunities. We can't help but talk about the one or the things that we love. Let that sink in. We can't help but talk about the one or the things that we love. So I ask you this morning to do a little inventory. What has your conversation revealed about what's important to you? What do you talk about? Who do you talk about? Is that a revelation of God that you love? What He has done for you? Or is it all about football, the weather, food, whatever that's going on? So, a heart of joy, a heart of service. Who do we speak about? And then a heart of praise there. At the end of verse 2, he says there, come before His presence with singing, with praise, rejoicing there. We have to teach our children to say thank you. Parents, you know, it's not natural for our children just to one day, you know, wake up and start saying thank you all the time. They have to learn that. To the point that if a teenager or adult does not say thank you when something is done, we actually judge that as being rude. And so it is something that we need to teach our children. But you know, just like people, and especially parents, we like to hear our children say thank you to us. Our Heavenly Father likes to hear us say thank you to Him. We have to be taught to be appreciative to what God has given us and to express that unto Him the same. Don't let the time go by that you don't have a heart to praise God for who He is and what He has done for us. It's been said that when we don't feel like serving or giving praise to the Lord, it's a reflection of a heart that needs repentance and an adjustment because it has become too full of self. And I think that's where the problem comes too often in our lives. Life becomes too much about us and not so much about Him. And we lose perspective there. The proper attitude, Lord, I want to give you my praise because of what you have done for me. And again, if we're not thinking about what He's done for us, it's kind of hard to do that. If all we're thinking about is focusing on what we don't have or what's going on that's bad, then we're not going to be in a mindset to give Him the praise. So when we give thanks to God, we reflect a heart for God, a heart for service, and a heart for praise. The second reason that we are to give thanks unto the Lord is giving thanks respects the ways of God. Look at verse 3 there. Know you that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. There are three things that I see here about who God is to us. Number one there, it says there, He is God. Know that fact. He is God. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 5, it says, I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no God besides me. In verse 22, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. There is no other God besides Him. You know, some people believe that there are other gods. Some people believe in many gods. You know, the Bible makes it clear that for all of mankind, for all of time, there's only been one God. And there's only been one mediator between God and all of mankind, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus said Himself there in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father. No person comes to heaven but by Jesus Christ, He said. He is the only way. And so some people say, well, you know, that's kind of narrow-mindedness, isn't it? Well, no, that's just what the Bible says. That's what God says. And if it's God's heaven that we want to get to, shouldn't we find out what God says about it in His Word? That's what makes the difference. No, God is not going to say, well, you were so sincere, even though you were wrong, I think I'll let you on into heaven. Doesn't work that way. We have to come His way, or we don't come at all. So He is our sovereign. He is God Himself, and there is no other there. And we are to know Him, know the Lord, that He is God there. And as I said, there's only one way to know Him, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our sovereign. Secondly there, He is our Creator. He says, know ye that He hath made us. He's created us and not we ourselves. He is the one that has created us, and therefore we belong to Him. We are His. He is the Creator of all things there. He made your body. He made your personality. He has given you the abilities that you have as believers. He's given us spiritual gifts. All of it He has given to us with a purpose in mind. He has a plan for you, individual. We read sometimes in Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you," God says there, "thoughts of peace," that is welfare or goodness there, "and not of evil or calamity or difficult things there, in order to give you an expected end." To give you, who's expected end? Well, it's God's expected end. In other words, His plan, what He expects to accomplish by giving you all of the things that He has. So God has created you a specific way. He has endowed you with many gifts and abilities. And He's done it all with a purpose in mind, a plan in mind of what He wants to accomplish there. God wants to do that as our Creator. We should be thankful. And then not only is He our Sovereign and our Creator, but He is our Redeemer. Look at the end of verse 3. Excuse me. "We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." Not only are we His because He created us, but we're His because He redeemed us. We're bought with a price, is what the word means. We have been purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When He died there on Calvary, He gave Himself to pay for our filthy sins. Do you know that there's no sin that we have ever done that is too great for God to forgive? There's no sins that we have ever been doing that we have sinned too long for God to forgive. There's no sins, plural, that add up to so much that God can't forgive or won't forgive. He is willing to forgive all if we come His way. And as I mentioned a while ago, His way is when we understand that we're sinners and that Jesus Christ came and died on Calvary to be the payment of our sin penalty. Our sin debt was the wages of sin is death. Not just a physical death. Death is separation, but it's a spiritual death. When we are separated from God into a place of torment called hell, the lake of fire, that's God's judgment. It wasn't meant to be that way. He made that judgment for the fallen angels, for the devil and his angels. But everyone that follows that, everyone that does not receive His Son, the Lord Jesus, the free gift of eternal life, whoever rejects or neglects that, they have the same condemnation that is upon them. And that's why it's so important to recognize, one, that you are a sinner, that you have a sin debt. Because if you don't recognize your need, you're not going to look for a remedy of it. Until you see that you have a need, you will not turn to Jesus Christ. But once you understand that Jesus Christ died for that need, for that sin penalty, then the next step is to say, "Lord, I want that payment to be applied to my account. I want to choose to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior." The moment that decision is made, salvation takes place. Our sins are forgiven. We're made fit to be in God's heaven. That's what salvation is. That's the only thing salvation is. He is our Redeemer there. Because He is our Redeemer, we are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. We have a special relationship with Him as a child of His. In 1 John 3:1, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, the children of God." What a great love and benefit that God has given to us. What a glorious privilege to be called one of His children there. Colossians 1:12 says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet." The word means fit. He's made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. What does that mean, the inheritance of the saints in light? Talking about heaven. He has made us fit for heaven, and therefore He says, "Giving thanks unto the Father who has done that." He's done it through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're giving thanks there, respects the ways of God there. He is our Sovereign, our Creator. He is our Redeemer. We're His. And we should seek to thank Him for that privilege. And then giving thanks responds to the love of God. There in verse 4, when we give thanks, I think we show a proper response to the great love that God has for us. He says, enter unto His gates with thanksgiving, and to His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Say good things about Him is what bless His name means there. We're to enter into the gates. I think the gates there is speaking about the gates of Jerusalem, and into the courts may be a reference there to the courts there of the temple there. But it could be applicable unto us entering into the church service here. Excuse me. We're to enter into the church with thanksgiving and with praise. We're to be thankful unto Him and say good things about His name, who He is, and what He's done for us. That's all part of it. How do we do that? There are two ways, I believe. Number one is in worship. When I think of worship, I think of worth-ship, because that's what it's talking about. It's thinking about and talking about the worth of God in our life. How much we value Him. It's an expression that comes from our heart of the appreciation of who He is there as we bless His name. And it's also not only we come before His presence there with worship, but we come before His presence with gratitude. Psalm 100 ends with a reason why we're to thank God. It says, "For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." We're to praise the Lord. We must come as we realize what He has done for us, what He has given to us, and the very fact that He has made it possible for us to be His children and to have that relationship, to be made fit for His heaven. There's so much that is good for us to praise God for. God is good. God is God alone, and He will forever deserve our praise. Amen. We need to get it and not forget it in our minds. It's been said that the act of thanksgiving is thanks living. The act of thanksgiving is thanks living. In other words, it means it's not just something you do on a single day of the year, but it's how you live a life of gratitude every day that we live. And that's why I say I wanted to preach this message today. I wanted our choir to sing that song today because I wanted us to be reminded that it's just not at a Thanksgiving service. It's just not on a Thanksgiving day that we're to give praise unto the Lord, but we're to give thanks to God every day, including today. So, be thankful. The greatest highlights of your Thanksgiving, if it was about food and football, you missed it. Now, there's nothing wrong with food and football. I enjoyed both of them a little bit. What? But if that's what it was all about, if you got bent out of shape because you didn't get a little bit of one of the two of them there like you wanted, you were missing what Thanksgiving was all about. And the opportunity to thank people. There's possibility that there's a Christian sitting in here today that did not say one thing to anybody else about something, just one thing that they were thankful for. Never expressed that. And I wonder if that means they never even pause to express a thank you to God for anything as well. How can we as believers not be thankful, especially when we are reminded to on Thanksgiving? Something's wrong with the heart that needs to be adjusted. So what is God saying about resetting your heart today as we approach giving thanks every day the way that we should? Remember, just as us earthly parents like to hear thank you from our children, our Heavenly Father likes to hear thank you from us. I hope that you'll be encouraged to express the gratitude that is within your heart And if it's not there, I hope that you will be willing to make the adjustments today. Lord, show me where I'm missing. Every head bow, please. What has God spoken to you about today? God makes it clear that there is not a message that is preached, there is not a church service that is attended, that God does not have a single purpose for every individual that's here. So what was His purpose for you today? None of us are perfect. All of us need adjusting. What adjustments does God want to make today? Lord, I pray that our eyes would be opened, that we would see ourselves as You see us. Lord, sometimes that makes us say, oh, woe is me, for I am undone. Lord, I pray that in seeing ourselves where we may fall short, that we may be able to make those adjustments by Your Holy Spirit's power to be better, especially in our heart, to think and praise You as we have opportunities. Thank You today. In Jesus' name, amen.